hand-me-down clothes, hand-me-down books that you don't use, that old coffee pot and shoes, ain't no hand-me-down blues. Hand-me-down hope, hand-me-down a life of choice, a world of freedom and a voice to sing loudly and rejoice. Like mama's wedding gown, grandma's ring, and daddy's crown. Sometimes love's the greatest hand-me-down. We sow and it's for keeps, the whole village eats. Hand-me-down love, though there's two sides to that road, the more you give and let it go, the more you grow. Like mama's wedding gown, grandma's ring, and daddy's crown. Sometimes love's a gift. Sweetness I have found with friends and family round. Sometimes love's the greatest hand-me-down. Sometimes love's the greatest hand-me-down.
And that was Trisha Jean Brady with Hand Me Down.
Hand Me Down Love.
Hand Me Down Love, right. Which was one of the songs commissioned for the Raised in Knoxville CD, which is a very special element of this project as well. We're going to talk more about that here in just a moment. But first, I want to take a call from Bill, who's calling us from Washburn. Bill, thank you for holding.
Sure.
What's your comment?
Well, I'd always heard that the reason why Nashville got everything from Knoxville and country music left the capital of Knoxville was because WROL didn't have the wattage that Nashville radio was able to put out.
That's definitely true.
Thank you for your call, Bill.
That is the nicest reason I've heard.
Well,
and I like that. It makes so much sense.
And I keep hearing, and I didn't even know about WSM until your podcast series, Todd, but apparently, you know, this was a giant radio antenna that on a really clear night could be heard all over the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Even Garrison Keillor up in Minnesota always listened to WSM. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And that was it was hard to compete with that. It was, I mean, WNOX had a pretty good signal. You could hear it, and some people could pick it up in New Jersey and places, but only at night in certain circumstances. But
right.
But WSM was the big daddy and one of the biggest radio signals in the country, I think.
And of course, it was up on the plateau while we're down here in the valley. Yeah. Did that have something to do with it?
I don't know enough about that sort of thing, but it was definitely a much better, I mean, signal than we had access to at the time. And it was built by, an insurance company. And WSM stood for We Save Millions.
We Serve Millions.
We Serve Millions, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But it was, yeah. But yeah, they just had big, you know, and I think it was honestly more carrot than stick that Nashville just had a lot going on. And Knoxville's main strength was live radio, and live radio just died nationally in the late 50s, early 60s, and it just wasn't a thing anymore because you know everybody's going to national programming, top 40 type stuff, and by the 60s there just wasn't any demand for live radio.
Before we go on, I want to come back for just a moment to the song that we played, Trisha Jean Brady, as we were coming out of the break. It's, again, there was a CD that is part of this project for Raised in Knoxville, and two songs were commissioned, Trisha Jean's and one by Mick Harrison, that's been getting a lot of airplay on our sister station.
WUTK.
Thank you. I don't know why. Sorry, Benny.
The rock.
They've been playing it a lot.
They rock.
WDVX has been playing it, and that's really great. There are a few other events that are going on along with this project. So, Todd, why don't you take us through some of these?
Yeah, and I just want to just talk a little bit about the recording, because one of my favorite memories from recording was that we brought together a bunch of musicians that all kind of knew each other, but a lot of them had never played together before. Mm-hmm. You had never played with Mick, right?
I had never played with Mick, and that was a treat. I'm a huge Mick Harrison fan.
Yeah, me too. And I always always kind of envisioned Trisha and Mick's voice together. And when it happened, I just went, "Oh, that's it. That's like, it's perfect." But one of my favorite memories is the song you just heard, "Hand Me Down Love." Is, you know, we've been going full steam all day, and then Trisha comes in, and she's got her acoustic guitar, and we just set up in at Arbor Studios, and like all the musicians on the session, and several just sat on the floor, and we all just circled around and just watched her play it and knock it out in maybe one or two takes.
We did it twice.
Beautiful
I ran
song.
It twice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
And it's a beauty, and it's just a great song, and it was just for me, it was like, it's like Christmas kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. We just sat, you know, you hear so many records, but it's so rare you get to watch one being made, and it was just so much fun.
So let's talk about Trisha Jean. What the modern picture of country music then is in Knoxville and East Tennessee, and of course you toured with the Black Lilies for so long.
Yes,
that
yeah.
you saw country music all over the country.
I did. I got to really see what's happening with it, and of course I've been off the road 2 years.
Things happen
fast, guys.
You
like.
Have.
Things change and happen fast, and we have an ebb and flow, I think, that happens in different cities, and I think that we're in one of those right now in Knoxville, you know. I think we're on a build, like we're starting to build again. I think it kind of did drop back a little bit because people were changing flux in their band situations, or they were moving and trying to different things, like over in Nashville. I think that was a perfect way to put it, that it's more of the carrot. There's a lot over there. We want to go see what we can get out of it, you know, and I think that started back in the day, and I think the Grand Ole Opry will always be that for me.
Yeah.
It will always be my carrot.
And you've actually played.
I got to play the Opry more times than most independent bands have ever. In fact, we held a little record, and we might still. I got to play it a lot of times,
cool.
and
yeah.
hopefully Hand Me Down Love can help me get back on that, because that is my carrot. But I think that when you travel through the country and you see what people are doing, what the biggest thing I noticed is that music hits most in the mountains. Our kind of music is mountain music. Mm. You get past the flatlands and you get over into Colorado and it's a party. I mean, if we could just put all of us mountain folks together, we'd be doing nothing but dancing and having a good time all the time. And it really, it's the authenticity and the heart. And I think that's what it all comes back to. And I think that we will see the ebb and flow of music. And I think we're going to have to go back to that. I think our world needs it. I think people are going to get scared to go to these big festivals because of the things that are happening right now. And they're going to need these smaller, intimate, safe, comforting space, you know, special places that are also going to help feed into the new musicians that we still need to have. We still need creative people. We can't stifle them with the crazy world we're living in.
Yeah. What about subject matter as far as songs go? Because first of all, just a little anecdote from my childhood was that I got a stereo from my dad when I was 5, and the first radio station I tuned into was WBRQ in Johnson City, which was, of course, the country station, which is the day also that my dad gave me my first pair of headphones so that he wouldn't have to hear the country music, which I loved. I mean, I just love this music. It was, you know, Loretta Lynn and
I was gonna ask who got you.
You know, Conway Twitty and George Jones and just, you know, all the great Willie Nelson, whose voice is still beautiful. And, you know, just the sweet and the heartache and the bad luck and the, you know, the bad things and all of it just kind of spoke to me, even as a 5-year-old. It's very special. And I wonder now, because I don't listen to a lot of modern country music, So I wonder about the subject matter. What is it? Is it still the hard luck times and the broken hearts, or what is it like now?
I don't know. I think that's very particular to each songwriter. I really do. I'm sure you're going to get some that are going to give you all kinds of songs about, he didn't text me back.
Well, which is,
I'm not going to be that. You know? I'm of a different age. I'm also a little older, you know, so I'm not. Yeah. I still have the ability to look back on times when we didn't have cell phones and things like that, so I can kind of draw to my old life. But I think it really depends on the songwriter. And for me, it's very specific. When I got off the road with the Lilies, I knew I need to start writing new music. It's going to be all mine. And I'm not putting anything negative out there.
Mm.
I'm not going to. I was raised to believe that anytime you're making something creative, anything you put into that is going to come across to other people. It's a very Cherokee thing. But you put good in it, and that's what will spread. And that is very specific to my music. And if there's something negative, I usually hold it back on the back burner. Maybe I can work with that later, but I'm putting good out there right now.
Do you feel like, I mean, do you talk to a lot of other musicians and songwriters who feel the same way?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Most of them are seeing the crazy world we're living in, and they're responding to it and trying to make people feel better. They want to, I mean, that's what music is supposed to do for me. It's medicine. It makes me feel good when other things won't. Gardening and music and hiking, those are my things I go to when I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure when I have somebody listening to mine, it makes them feel that way too.
Yeah, and one of my favorite lines in your song, and I told you this when we recorded it, was, you know, the whole village eats. I mean, it's such a simple, piercing sort of thing to hear someone sing in 2019. The whole village is still not eating, you know, and so... And this can be in country music, and it actually does. Those are some of the same sentiments you would hear from the Carter family.
Exactly.
And and we're all struggling with the same things, and that's one of the beauties to me is country music. It sometimes can just boil all this complicated stuff down into one or two great lines. I mean, Hank Williams, Loretta Lynn, George Jones, you know, Willie Nelson. These are all masters of like just taking that one line. And bringing it down, and that's why it hits you in the heart, and that's why country music, I think, is going to be around a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and why it speaks to people all over the world.
Yes,
too.
Exactly.
Because it's not.
It's relatable.
You were saying earlier about working people's music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is the music
it's
of
very
of
popular in Great Britain, certainly,
people.
And in lots of other places. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's kind of amazing how popular it is in Great Britain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well. There was one time I was actually in Zimbabwe and in a city called Harare, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful experience there. And someone, you know, people would always come up and say, where are you from? And I'd say, I'm from Tennessee, you know, Knoxville, Tennessee. And sometimes people would know Tennessee, sometimes they wouldn't. But almost 90% of the times they would say, oh, Jack Daniels or Elvis Presley. But in Zimbabwe, they all said Dolly Parton, Dolly mm-hmm. Parton, Dolly Parton, Dolly Parton. I just heard that over and over and over, and I went, wow.
Yeah.
And they're like, you like Dolly Parton? I said, of course, she's great.
Of course.
Like, oh, yeah, she yeah. is.
Well, I'll tell you, when I traveled around, I would meet people all over that had seen us on the Opry. I mean, mm-hmm. People from Canada. Okay. I saw you on the Opry.
Wow.
You didn't have any more reach from any venue than that because every time you had a different audience because they're all pretty much tourists. And they are broadcasting to everyone. So everybody knows what the Opry is. I don't care where you go.
And that is amazing to hear, especially as, you know, acts and enterprises like the Grand Ole Opry have just sort of fallen off the radar over the years. The Opry has not.
No.
I mean, it's still really popular. And as you say, it reaches people now all over the world.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really is. And I see... them even having to foster in the new musicians because, of course, we're losing all of our wonderful old musicians at times. And so they're having to make sure they bring in fresh blood, too. And that's hard to find that fits, you know. I think that's part of why you're seeing a bit of a change in what they're considering country versus Americana.
Because of the younger artists mixing.
And them having to
okay.
find things to blend in. And you're getting more of what people call new country.
Gotcha.
On the Opry as opposed to what we are considering Americana because a lot of our classic country artists are now considered Americana.
Mm. I've always wondered,
really odd thing that's happening.
I've always
that.
Wondered it. So what is the definition of Americana? Is it an extension of traditional country?
Does anybody have a good definition of Americana?
I think it's country that's not corny, maybe.
Oh,
that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
I think it's conceived as something authentic from you know the people, something that's you know genuinely not trying to be commercial, not trying to be, you know, please some niche or something, but it's just genuine, authentic music
based
that,
in roots.
It comes out
yeah,
of
roots,
like
roots music.
That's what I would think. Yeah,
that's kind of what
I
was thinking.
Something in the
I've heard it called that too. So.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture. I mean, it still is a mixture, even back then as a child listening to country, because my dad was such a blues fan, I could hear the blues elements in country and how it mixed with bluegrass and became something else. And it's sort of just this amalgam of different kinds of music. And I'm
maybe
glad
one day country will be country again.
Well, maybe, or maybe this is just
maybe it just switches
the new country.
Yeah.
But
maybe.
The premise of this program that you're doing is that somehow Knoxville lost something. It got away, right? Why isn't it here? And well, I'm really interested in what you're saying about Trisha Jean, about Nashville as a venue and a powerful draw. I think Knoxville's pretty great without it.
I think it's amazing.
I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, there's a way in which this is a seedbed for talent and lots of local performers. And as a person who's not a performer trying to make money out of this, but a person who enjoys the music scene, I'd rather be here than Nashville.
And Nashville myself. Doesn't have a Bijou Theater, for example. That's just that.
I live in Knoxville. Yeah. If that tells you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have for this many years that I've played music. Yeah. I think that there's a good reason to say music was raised in Knoxville.
Yeah.
I mean, it is born all these places, but we really want to raise it up. We want to give them that support. We want it. We love it here. Knoxville's got something very special with that.
Well, tomorrow we have just a second left, so we're going to go ahead and start to close out here. But want to remind you that tomorrow, Todd Steed and Mick Harrison are going to be on live at 5 at 4. But actually,
at 5,
they'll be on at 5 on WBIR.
It's a miracle.
And then on Friday, we have the Big Plate Special at Barley's down in the Old City at noon. That'll be broadcast live on WDVX. And they're going to be who all is going to?
Trisha Jean Brady, Mick Harrison, Jeff Bills, Dave Nichols, Greg Horn, R.B. Morris, Evie Andrews on the fiddle, who plays that lovely fiddle part on the Raising Knoxville song. And we've got a whole set celebrating everything East Tennessee.
Cool. Excellent.
Cool, wonderful. Yeah.
I want to thank all of you, Trisha Jean Brady, Jack Neely, Ernie Freeberg, and my co-host Todd Steed. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Greg Hill, master of production.
Thanks, Greg.
And if you missed part of the show or you want to hear it again, it'll be on our website later at WUOT.org. I'm Chrissy Kuiper. Brandon Hollingsworth will be on our next dialogue on October 2nd, and we hope you will join us for that. Coming up in just a few minutes, we've got the afternoon concert with Jim Blaylock filling in for Ace Edwards. And as always, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you again. If you called in to participate, I'm sorry if we didn't get to your call. Maybe next time. We could go on and on about this subject. It's 1 minute before 1 o'clock.